In the name of Jesus, amen. The text is the one just read to you, plus this from Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Little children are lovable, and they also love readily. And in that context of loving, they also know how to ask and receive. I mean, we've all experienced the familiar scene in the store with the child looking in wonderment at all the shiny things and asking for this and for that. He wants his mother or his father to give him everything that catches his eye. A child loves his father, his first love, if you will, and he knows that he's completely dependent on him for everything. And he also, I think, believes that his father has an unlimited supply of money, and he's not afraid, there is no fear in love, or ashamed to ask, because he knows that once in a while it pays off, he receives. And since the little child is completely dependent, there are no conditions attached to his requests. But the little child does not think the way adults do. He doesn't worry about returning the favor. He doesn't have anything to give in return. And so he just asks, 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 and then he receives joyfully, simply. But now then, that text said, you have left your first love. Perhaps we can explain that with the adolescent in our society. He wants independence from his parents, from God, probably from all authority. It's not really what he needs, but it's what he demands in one way or another. Actually, what he needs is more dependence. It's what we all need, but by nature don't want. I mean, we fight both God and man to be free to do what we want when we want, to rely on our own wisdom to carry the day, to make it against all odds and against all opposition in this world. But we can take care of ourselves. We know what's good for us and what isn't. Our own wisdom and our own understanding will bring us success. As a matter of fact, in the past, our own hard work, and in the present, our own hard work certainly will get us the gifts. You can be God. We've eaten of the tree that's desired to make men wise and independent. We've, if you will, reached out and helped ourselves. We have another love. We've left our first love. We can be our own God. We can save ourselves. We've sinned against the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we can't quit. When our Lord in Matthew said, except you be converted and become as little children, he was expressing a profound truth. Let me repeat what I said before. Little children possess nothing, but they need everything. They are dependent of the love of others to satisfy their needs. A simple cry, and they get instant relief. It's a great way to live. Adam and Eve, I think, were like that in the garden. Like little children gazing in amazement at their father's storehouse. They must have believed that their father possessed unlimited resources and loved them with an everlasting love, judging by what he had already entrusted to them, all of it. Since he was their God, all of it was theirs. They couldn't ask for anything more, but if they did, I'm sure they must have felt that they would receive it. In their simple trust, they could go about their daily activities. They were friends of the owner. He was their God. That meant that everything of his was theirs. They loved him, first, foremost. I mean, who wouldn't love a God like that? And wouldn't anything be possible in a friendly world, all of which is there for you? Where a person just asks, and it's given. But it's not that way anymore. The reading in 2 Chronicles indicates that there's an enemy. An enemy that has spoiled the world, everything in it, and of whom the people are terrified. It's as if he's advancing on every front and they're powerless against his fierce attack. Now then, what has happened to these people? Why are they afraid? There is no fear in love. They had left their first love. Luther says this about Adam and Eve, that before the fall, they knew God loved them, and they loved him. And they were joyful and serene. And that after the fall, they knew God didn't love them, and so were frightened and hated him. Even though, in fact, God really did love them. And then he says, that's unbelief. It's an awful way to live, isn't it? To be completely independent. To rely on no one but yourself. To be your own God. To be forced to save yourself in a hostile world in which everything in it is marshaled against you. With nobody in control. Incredibly, that's what men left to themselves choose. It's the only way to live, they say. Take care of old number one. If you don't, who will? It's almost as if such people had lost their head. To choose blindly, to follow an unpredictably cruel terrorist, not knowing when the next head to roll may be your own, instead of a loving father, who is willing to stoop down to your level and embrace you as his only child, or to pick you up to his level so that you can see his smiling face, or to choose the Ayatollah and his sadistic henchmen, his minions, over a gentle, loving father, that's insane. I mean, people like that will have to have help from outside. It'll take a miracle. But now then, listen to this love and trust in the face of the enemy's assault and temptation not to love and trust in God, but to love and trust yourself. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. What an attack, huh? What an attack against a poor man, starving, hungry in a barren wilderness, who hasn't eaten for 40 days. Command these stones be made bread. As if to say you gotta take care of yourself, because nobody else will. And then the response, it is written, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. As if to say, well, read the Bible. It contains the real nourishment, the bread of life, the one thing needful, and with that, everything else. That is, throughout the pages of the history in the Bible, the entire history of God's people, his children, the Father has supplied food in his own way at the right time, even if he has to command the ravens to do it or an angel. He can be trusted to provide. This one would not leave his first love. And now this. At the height of any man's temptation not to love and trust, when he's faced with death, and he's innocent of any wrongdoing, and everybody else is guilty, and he's being punished for them, when he would have every reason to protest, how unfair God is, if there is a God at all. The very God who had abandoned him Does he falter? Not for a moment. My God, he says. My God. He's still his God. And with that God, he has everything, even though it may not look like that at all. As if to say, in the darkest of circumstances, Father, I need you, I love you, I trust you. He trusted that his first love would strengthen him and help him and deliver him. He says, our fathers trusted in you. Moses and Joshua, David and Daniel, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto you and were delivered. They trusted and were not confounded. What love and trust. This is an entirely new person. A completely new man. And listen to this love for God and his neighbor. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, I will. Notice he doesn't even ask conditionally. He expects this to happen. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father. I mean, he's about to go to death as an innocent man, and yet he refers to his father as righteous. He loves him. He doesn't say that he's unfair. He calls him righteous. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. He, the Messiah on the cross in Psalm 22, had said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Now he does it. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So that now these people could love again, like that. This is a prayer for the restoration of people who have left their first love. This is the simple love of a child who believes, beyond any shadow of doubt, that his father will hear and will answer. In this one is the judgment of the enemy that threatens us and ours, threatens to extinguish all love and trust in God. In this one is death to the spirit who says you can be your own God and save yourself. This one did not leave his first love, and in him neither have we. Now, who wouldn't love a God like that, who has saved us from everything and who has given us everything? He is our first love, of course, this God. In him we have that perfect love which casts out all fear. And now there is no fear of the enemy. And we can ask, huh? We can ask, just like little children, dear children, ask their dear Father for strength, for deliverance from all of the enemies. O our God, wilt thou not judge them, the enemy? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And we can receive, simply and joyfully, this good news. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude of our enemies, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And confident in that one who has defeated all of our enemies, we can go about our daily activities here, about our chores, here and everywhere. And we can do it as Adam and Eve did, with joy in our heart and a song on our lips. May God grant it, for his dear Son's sake. Amen.